Hey, everybody, welcome to Trashy Divorces.
Trashy Royals style.
I'm Alicia.
My name is Stacy.
Y'all seem to be liking the Tudors, so we're going to roll on this week with one of my very favorite Tudor ladies. You don't mess around with Bess of Hardwick.
The real estate mogul of her day, is that?
That's exactly it.
Is that young Bess?
That is young Bess and middle-aged Bess and old Bess, too. I want to give a super big extra special shout out to one of our biggest Trashy Royals fans, Andrew. Andrew is my new Tudor gentleman.
He listens to all age-appropriate episodes as determined by his mother. We don't know where this falls.
We appreciate it. I like having Andrew as a fan. This one's for you, Andrew, even though your mom may not let you listen to it.
May not be allowed to listen to it.
Don't forget, we have our season 10 season finale. Can you believe it? Coming up on Sunday.
And then Trashy Royals itself wraps up with a great thing coming after.
The following Wednesday. It's so good. Trashy content right here. Where do you go for your trash candy?
Right here.
What do you do to get your trash candy?
Go, go, go. So, Alicia, when I think of Hardwick, I think of a candle that has not been used in a long time.
But different kinds.
You're saying that's not where my mind should go necessarily.
As you
drink your 14th cup of coffee of the day.
I'm saying Uptown got its hustlers. The Bowery's got its boss. No, today, Bess of Hardwick, y'all, on Trashy Tudors.
What?
You don't mess around with Bess.
What?
No, you don't mess around with Bess. She's so good. We have talked about a lot of, I really am hyped up on coffee.
You really are.
A lot of very powerful Tudor women within this series. And today we have another Bess of Hardwick. Technically, she's a countess, or will be, through one of her marriages. But Bess of Hardwick. Hardwick is her, she's Elizabeth Hardwick when she's born. Hardwick is her family home.
Okay, okay.
It's the land. She will build a place called Hardwick Hall there. She will also build a little building called Chatsworth.
God, I'm really connecting to this story as Stacy of Ashhole. And of course, our home, Ashhole Hall.
Today, I am going to giggle and coffee up my way through this. And what I'm doing is laying some spider webs. Mm-hmm. So Double E and I have talked about the way the spider webs go in, like, y'all.
Yes, your Tudor consultant.
There's a whole, it's not, no, we're going everywhere in this one. But the thing is, you need to know about Bess of Hardwick. So I'm planning her in place. So this is dedicated to Double E, as well as my friend, Kathleen, my Tudor goddess in training, who right now, according to her mom, is like only into Henry's queens, but let me introduce you to a little lady called Bess of Hardwick. Okay, not a lot is known about her early life because women. She's
they're secretive.
Born, oh, just didn't get recorded.
Yeah, I know. Good times.
The best guess that we have for her birth year is 1527. Historians kind of do the best they can. But we don't really know. 1527-ish. Bess is born into a really respectable family, but they're dirt poor. They don't have a lot of cash. Her dad dies when she's an infant, and any family money that they did have is seized by the crown.
Why not?
Well, to wait for the one son to come of age.
Sure.
Okay.
It's called a death tax, Alicia.
Mom remarries and stepdad is hung up for charges and executed by the crown. Like,
what?
Bess really isn't set up for success.
It's harsh times, man.
When she's like 12, she gets sent to a local wealthy family. We think this is Anne Gainsford at first.
So it's like Theon Greyjoy with the Starks.
Yep.
She's keeping a hostage.
That's what you do.
Cool.
So at this home, Bess will marry for the first time to a Ute named Robert Barlow. It's an arranged marriage. He's like 13 and she's like 12, but he has a neighboring estate, so it's made for, right, alliances. This is May 1543. Sadly, poor Bobby Barlow is going to bite it a year later in the Christmas of 1544. Hubby one done, but leaves a small inheritance.
Okay.
Okay. Bess is going to move on. And she, we think, becomes a lady-in-waiting to Frances Grey. Frances Grey is the daughter of Mary Tudor, the French queen. Frances Grey is also the mother of Lady Jane Grey, our future Nine Days Queen, in 1553. But Bess of Hardwick, who the story is about, is still young. Hubby number two will not be as young. This marriage happens in the August of 1547. This guy's name is William Cavendish. Billy Cavs.
Billy Cavs. Thanks. I would have gotten there.
I just went to the obvious one. If you have a different one, please contribute. But
he was dishy.
Billy Cavs. Or Billy Dish. I don't know. We got a lot of ways to go. William Cavendish. I'm going to let you work on that.
Sure.
Billy was 20, 30 years older.
Sure.
He's twice widowed. He's made a shit ton of money. He made a fortune with the dissolution of the monasteries. He's also treasurer of the King's Chamber and Household. So the two of them, Bess and Billy, are going to buy a little place called Chatsworth. And Bess is now Lady Cavendish. They're going to have eight children together. Two will die in infancy. Husband Billy is going to die in 1547 with a shit ton of debt. So they've had a 10-year marriage. They have six kids. He's dead. She's a lady.
Did she keep his money?
Well, hang tight. Because it's not going to hold her down. She's 30. She's good looking. She's connected. But she's saddled with a ton of debt.
Oh.
So 2 years later, she's going to marry this dude.
She making a Cavendash to the
Cavendash
next guy?
Cavendash. She's four times married.
Yeah.
And rags to riches. Every time she marries somebody more important in status.
Right.
That's what I'm like getting you to the conclusion of. So 2 years later, 1559.
Cavendash.
She Cavendashes over to Sir William St. Lo. He is the captain.
But it turns out he's very Saint High.
He is the captain of the guards to Elizabeth I.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So they will begin building Chatsworth together.
Sure.
That she bought back with Billy Cavendish. Yeah, sure. Dishy Cavs. Okay.
Billy Cavs.
The benefit that Sir William St. Lo provides, because he is so close with Elizabeth, he works within the system to alleviate her debts from that last marriage.
Gotcha.
Okay. Because William St. Lo is loaded. So now she's got a ton of money. He's got a ton of money. 5 years later, though, like 1564, William St. Lo is no more. He will die in suspicious circumstances, possibly poisoned by his younger brother.
Okay, but not Bess.
No, not
she's
Bess.
She's not suspected. Okay.
I don't think she's a murderer. I have not. I've heard a lot about Bess of Hardwick.
Sure.
No murder threads yet.
Okay. But she's going to Cavendash again?
Well, not yet. Not yet. So William St. Lo dies, 1564. He has no male issue. He has two daughters from previous marriages. So now Bess is loaded with a bunch of kids from three collected marriages, hers and stepkids. When I say loaded, she's pulling in about 19,000 pounds a year, which would be like 19 million in today's money on a streaming annual revenue.
Okay.
She is not just the richest woman in England, she is one of the richest people in England.
Okay. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Trash Pandas, Stacy here to share my latest take a mental breather from your day find, Two Dots. Two Dots is a free-to-download puzzle-based mobile game where you connect dots in relaxing puzzles while unlocking levels and collecting treasure and prizes along the way. Connect at least two adjacent dots of the same color to make a move, and remember, dots can connect horizontally and vertically, but never, ever diagonally. And as engaging as the main puzzles are, there are also side quest game modes like the scavenger hunt, where you find hidden objects amidst riotously colorful art, and classic adventure game vibes in the arcade. Each fun and relaxing Two Dots puzzle offers a new gameplay experience, plus the chance to collect trophies, medals, and other souvenirs of your adventures. As you advance through the levels, you'll earn various power-ups and special dots with new effects, like erasing all dots of a certain color or clearing a row and column simultaneously, and the colorful visuals find the perfect balance between stimulating and soothing.
Two Dots is free to download, and you can play even when you're offline. Make it a party by challenging your friends on Facebook. If you're ready to kick back and unwind, download Two Dots for free on Android and iOS and start connecting.
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call. You talk to one of them, they stay anonymous. I can't hang up. That's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today. Beautiful Anonymous.
So she's taking care of her six kids and the other two by marriage, and she's also a lady of the bedchamber to Elizabeth I. So she's at court. She's in her mid-30s. She's looking good. One of the wealthiest people in England. She's in a whole new world of like money and power. She's seeing a bunch of men. Like, I don't know what the word is for dating at the Tudor court, but she has lots of interest from lots of men because good looks and money, right? Will get you pretty far in life. Bess is good. Doing fine. I don't need no man. Like, I'm one of the wealthiest people in England. I'm good.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah.
There's never a wrong time to take a look at the things that are keeping you from living your best life. And if now is your moment, we recommend BetterHelp.
BetterHelp is confidential, convenient, and safe professional counseling with your own licensed therapist. BetterHelp's quick questionnaire matches you with a counselor in under 24 hours, and you can message your counselor at any time, even between scheduled phone or video sessions. And if you're not clicking, that's fine. It is free to change counselors.
BetterHelp is available worldwide. They offer specialized expertise that may not be available locally where you live. It's more affordable than traditional counseling. Financial aid is available as well. It has just never been easier to find a licensed professional counselor.
In fact, there are so many people using BetterHelp that they are recruiting counselors in all 50 states.
We want you to start living your happiest life today. As a Trashy Divorces listener, you get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/trashy.
Join more than 1 million people who are taking charge of their mental health. Visit BetterHelp, that's betterhelp.com/trashy.
She's going to wait a few times before marrying for the fourth and final time. This time, to even more advantage, to this guy named George Talbot. He is the sixth Earl of Shrewsbury. This marriage will take place in 1568. So she's past her childbearing years. Okay, but fuck if they don't have a lot of kids between them. Because he has seven kids. She's still got her six.
Plus two.
These other two.
Yeah.
So Bess of Hardwick, practical. I swear she's got to be an earth sign. Like, she's a builder. She's so practical. She knows that she holds power through men. She also gains her power from a matchmaker. She puts together power and alliances in matchmaking that is unparalleled. So she's going to matchmake all of these kids from all of these families together. She's clever. She's practical. She is going to control and manifest powerful marriage alliances that still continue like to this day. Like you don't mess around with Bess.
All right.
So now Bess is married to George Talbot. Lots of kids, lots of alliances, gaining power. It's like 1568, but I want you to remember back to something else that is happening around that time in 1568. Mary, Queen of Scots, is getting kicked out, right? Captured in Scotland, absconding the throne, makes her daring escape to freedom in England, believing her sweet cousin Elizabeth I is going to protect her. But sweet sister cousin Elizabeth does not protect her.
Puts her in the tower, right?
No. In 1569, Elizabeth is going to lock up Mary, Queen of Scots, for the next 15 years with George Talbot and Bess of Hardwick.
Oh, interesting.
They're Mary, Queen of Scots babysitters.
Jailers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Babysitters of the exiled Scottish queen for like 15 years. Elizabeth I doesn't pay for any of that. It's all on their dime. So they're going broke doing it. And Mary, Queen of Scots is kind of a jerk here.
Wouldn't or, you be? Come on.
Or a woman trying to make the best of her plight. Because yeah. What Mary, Queen of Scots does is plays Bess and George off each other. Like, she's planting seeds with the both of them that makes them squabble. It's even rumored that Mary and George have an affair. Bess participates in some of these rumors. By the early 1580s, George and Bess are separated. And even Elizabeth I tries to do marriage counseling with them. She brings them in
right.
to do marriage therapy. Like,
right.
you two need to work this out. And they're like, yeah, no luck on that. We hate each other.
Why don't you take your idiot cousin?
It's kind of it. No divorce that happens. But at this time, George is like, okay, we're separated. I need you to step off, lady. You don't get to have anything to do with Chatsworth. I'm mad that you spent all this money on it, and it was originally yours, but now I'm calling it mine, and I want you out. So George, under the threat, he gets his guards together to march her out, and she's like, fuck all this noise. I have family land back in Hardwick. I've already shown I can build a house. I have more money than God. Fuck off, man. She goes back to Hardwick and talks to her brother. Remember, because when her dad died, he left all that land in trust with the crown. And the one son, her brother, has it. And he's mismanaged it to no end. And she's like, hey, bro, you're hugely in debt and I want to get my land back. Which she does and will begin building Hardwick Hall. It takes about 7 years. The thing about Hardwick Hall is it's called More Glass Than Walls. It's like a status symbol of its time. Okay. So it's only when Mary, Queen of Scots, is removed from George and Bess's custody that Mary, Queen of Scots, gets in trouble. Like, Mary annoyed the hell out of Bess, but she was not in any danger of getting beheaded until... Okay. But in the 1580s, save the beheading of Mary, Queen of Scots, it goes well enough in the land of I hate my husband for Bess. George is going to die in 1590, leaving Bess the Dowager Countess of Shrewsbury, and even more loaded than she was before. She's got no need to marry again, and now Bess is going to spend the rest of her life supervising marriages, managing lands, and relationships in her own special you-don't-mess-around-with-Bess sort of way. So Bess is going to die at the age of 81 in February 1608. So she even outlives Elizabeth. Like, it's a rags-to-riches story. This is only planting the seed, because we aren't done with Bess. This is just the initial first thread of a web in a spider web series that all connects that I'm going to take you through in the coming weeks. And remember, Bess is a matchmaker and an influencer. I don't know, Queen of Hearts or lands or power. Her matchmaking right now is... on the throne in England, Queen Elizabeth II is descended from the Cavendish line, which is kind of interesting. What else spins from here? Shit, more trashy tutors, dirty digs. We're going to get into Chatsworth and Hardwick Hall. And if you know Chatsworth and you like the term Cavendish, I'll toss out the word Devonshire. It's all coming. I'm stuck in the house. So welcome to the spiderwebs in my brain.
So the Cavendish.
That's Bess of Hardwick. Okay, go.
The Cavendish was a banana, yeah?
Possibly.
And
that sounds right.
Devonshire is famous for clotted cream?
Sure. I've had 2 pots of coffee. What the hell do I know? So good. I love this story. Bess of Hardwick. Matchmaker, matchmaker.
Banana namer.
Rags to riches. She's women don't have that kind of power in Tudor England.
Mm-mm. Well...
we've talked about
I mean, Elizabeth I was queen for a billion years. I don't know. Women had some power here
and
there.
Well, Elizabeth I Bess of Hardwick and Mary Sidney that we talked about in the Shakespeare authorship.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Sidney and Bess of Hardwick, probably next to Elizabeth I, were the most powerful Tudor women in that time.
Women in Tudor England.
Okay.
You've had too much coffee.
I have had way too much coffee.
I'm going to ask you to wander around and just buzz for a few minutes, and then we'll record our next thing. Going to take a little break.
That's Bess of Hardwick. Spiderweb 1. Let's see where it goes next.
Hooray. All right.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
I mean, it's no Ashhole Hall, but okay. I'm sure it was a nice building that she made out of glass.
It's pretty fancy.
All right.
Just wait for that, Dirty Digs.
So that's our tutors for this week.
Yeah, that's a bonus trashy tutors. Because you did trashy politics yesterday. Like, mm-hmm. Technically, this is just a little tutor vignette of fun.
Yeah, no, I love it.
To plant a seed.
I know, I'm going to have a...
For where we're going.
Church of the Flaming Dumpster Fire coming up, too. Ooh.
I love creativity of quarantine. I'm calling this my artist in residence program.
Excellent.
Yeah, done and done.
Props to Nina Instead for coming up with that.
I love it.
All right, that's it for tutors for this week. And thank you all for joining us.
Go forth and be trashy. Bye, friends.
Bye.
And thanks to you for listening. Trashy Divorces is a Hemlock Creatives production, created and produced right here in Atlanta, Georgia, by us, Stacy and Alicia, with a little research and writing help from the brilliant Melissa O.
Our art is by Sydney V. Smith. That's Sydney V. Smith at carbonmade.com. And our music is used with permission of Ratsy. Check her out at Ratsy's store on Instagram, and definitely drop into Ratsy's store anytime you're in Oberlin, Ohio.
You can contact us at trashydivorces@gmail.com or find us on the World Wide Web at trashydivorces.com.
If you need more trash candy in your life, our Patreon community includes some of the very best humans around and thousands of hours of bonus content at every level of support. Join the fun at patreon.com/trashydivorces.
Interested in some Trashy Divorces swag? Check out our merch shop and Trash Panda Enthusiasm Society at bit.ly/trashygear.
Want to advertise with us? Reach out to sales@advertisecast.com for more information.
And last but not least, come play with us on social media. I keep most of our Trashy Divorces Instagram hopping. Stacy and I share it up over on Facebook, including our Trashy Divorces podcast discussion group. Come join us over there, and thanks again, everybody, for listening.
Keep it trashy, y'all.